Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners got to reconvene this meeting. We gaveled it in downstairs as it was agendized. We thought this room was going to be busy with the hearing this morning. Since it's been canceled, so we're going to continue on up here. If anyone has any cell phones or any of the audible devices, if you would silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We would appreciate it. And if you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Next up on this morning's agenda is item number 3. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the agenda for May the 7th, 2019. Mr. Witt, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. Staff request, inclusive of the district attorney, that we continue item number 15 and also continue items 28 and 29, specifically on items 28 and 29. That is to a date to be determined, so it's not a date specific, and we will re-notice and repost everything once that date is determined.
Okay, and I think also the sheriff has asked to continue item 21. All right, Sheriff, Sugarloaf Mountain Motel. Okay. So, Council, does Mr. Gilman need to excuse himself from continuing these items as well?
On 28 and 29, the rest are fine.
Okay, but we're going to have a motion to go ahead and continue these items.
Well, let's continue
15 and 21.
And then
do I need to recuse prior to making the motion?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll do it in two different motions. How's that?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Before we do that, we'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this item.
You know, you have a big agenda. I'm Paul Quam, local Virginia City resident. I'm donating my time again. This time it's to the Alzheimer's Society, and I've been assigned to raise money in Story County. Alzheimer's is a huge problem now. There's about 45,000 people in Nevada with Alzheimer's. The problem is getting big. The association, which is has an office down in Reno, lives and dies by contributions.
Okay. So, Mr. Palmer, I'm sorry, I have to stop you because
Thank you.
The public comment is on the agenda, not on what you're...
On the motion.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll get to that. Okay. Any other public comment regarding today's agenda? Okay. Can we go ahead and get a motion to continue items 15 and 21?
I move to approve the agenda for today, continuing items 15 and 21.
I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second that.
Move to second to continue items 15 and 21. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. And then next up, we'll need a motion to continue items 20 and 29. Mr. Gilman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse from discussing or voting on these items as I have a pecuniary interest in the items that are identified in the two agenda items. Thank you.
Very good. Great. So, Mr. Carmona?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to continue items 28 and 29 to a further date.
All right. I'll second your motion and move to second to continue items 28 and 29. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving along now to item number 4, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for April the 2nd, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to continue.
I'll move to approve the minutes for April 2nd, 2019.
Okay. I'll second that.
Been moved to second to approve the minutes for April the 2nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Move along now to item number 5. Number 5 is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Any persons making comments on these items, please limit your time to 3 minutes.
For the record, Sam Toll, I have a question on one of the pages of the packet for today. I was advised by Mr. Witten that I need to ask those questions after this consent agenda gets pulled to the regular consent or the agenda items.
I may have miscommunicated. You want to pull something from consent?
I just have a question about an item on the consent agenda in the packet, page 37. Is this the appropriate way? I've never asked a question about
the consent agenda consists of Roman numerals 1 and 2.
You're looking at something on the claims?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Check register.
I would suggest you just ask to have item 2 from the consent agenda pulled and
Thank
handled
you.
Separately.
In that case, I'd like item 2 from the consent agenda pulled and brought on the regular agenda.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda for Roman numeral 1, and then we'll hear Roman numeral 2 separate?
I move to approve the consent agenda for Roman numeral item 1, A through K, and we're going to move item number 2 to the general agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, move and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right. So, 5-2. Okay, so next up is going to be under the consent agenda, Roman numeral 2 for possible action approval of the claims in the amount of $1,807,213.11. All right, we have public comment regarding this item. And once again, please limit public comment to 3 minutes.
Again, for the record, Sam Toll, I guess I should have just stayed up here. I have a question on page 37, check register 405103 for Battleborn Consulting. I'm curious as to what the payment is for. Is it for the month of April or is it for the month of May?
Do you want that answer? I can answer it.
I don't know.
It's billing under contract for the month of May.
For the month of May. And so is that contract been rescinded, or are we going to continue to make payments on that contract until further notice?
I'll refer to legal counsel on that.
Okay, that's not an agendized item.
It's a personnel matter, and we're not prepared to discuss it at this point.
So it's a personnel matter, not a contractual matter?
It is a personnel matter related to a contractual matter, yes.
Okay, so will the county taxpayers can continue to expect making the payments in that on that contract?
I'm not prepared to discuss that.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other public comment regarding Roman numeral 2 under the consent agenda? All right. Seeing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve item 2 of today's consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Moved and second to approve item 2 of the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Move along now to item number 6. This is a discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And we'll start with the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Just one thing real quickly on our fees that we charge for background investigations. We received a notification from the state of Nevada. They are raising fees for background fingerprint charges. So that goes into effect July 1st of this year. We've sent out letters to our most frequent flyers of the background checks. So they should be getting that, but I want to make sure I let you folks know about it and got it on the record. It's not a very significant cost. It's I think it's going up about $4, $3.75 it looks like, somewhere $3-4, but it is going to be a slight increase on the basis of the state increasing their charges. FBI is not changing theirs. It's strictly state of Nevada.
What is, and so what does that total amount come to now?
Well, the fingerprints, and they've got it broke down just on the basis of the fingerprint charges. Currently it's $36.75 for the card. It'll be going up to $40.25. And then for volunteers, it's currently $29.25 and going up to $32.75. So okay. just a few dollars, but it is an increase and premised on the state's actions.
So that's what we're gaming charges, so there we have it.
Yeah, anything to do with fingerprints, if you send your gaming applicants down to get them fingerprinted, there'll be a few dollar increase.
Okay. Yep. Thanks, Sheriff. All right, our operations and and project manager, Mike Northand.
Good morning, Commissioners. I've got several items to update you on today. First one is Piper's Opera House. The original windows have been completely restored and refurbished, and we've got a date range to get those installed of May 15, 16, and 17. These dates were arrived at by coordinating with the director of Piper's, Ms. Brunson, so we can try to avoid any disruption to their events calendar. We do have a building permit, and SHPO has been informed, so we're ready to rock and roll. That installation is going to be done by Central Sierra Construction. The other guys have done some other work for us on the historical side of things. The director's office in Piper's Opera House. We do have SHPO approval. Those plans have been submitted to Community Development for a building permit. I'm trying to work with county forces to see if we can get that work scheduled during that same time period of May 15, 16, and 17, again, to try and get all this done and get out of the way. Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Project. We did have contact with the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. We did meet on site. We're still awaiting their environmental testing requirements and regimens. Once we have that, we can proceed with test pits, which is going to do a couple things. It'll tell us about any potential contamination in that area. I'm told that we're far enough up the slope that they don't anticipate anything out of the ordinary. It'll also give us a chance to have a look at subsurface conditions and see if we can proceed with the work ourselves or if there's some portions of this work that we may need to contract out, mainly related to how soon and at what depth we are going to encounter bedrock, if it can be ripped or if it needs to be blasted. Fairgrounds improvements. I am soliciting I'm getting a proposal from an electrical design company to get power out there. Just in walking the site with that consultant, a couple of issues, potential issues, design issues on the electrical side were identified, mainly involving the length of the secondary run and the availability of primary power on the perimeter of the property. So we could get into a situation where if we try to do a really, really long run of secondary power, we start having voltage drops, or we can put in 480-volt transformer, and then we are stuck buying dry pack transformers at all these locations. So we're going to get a proposal for their design to let us know what the best, most efficient way to get electrical power out there to some areas. Duck Hill Waterline, the easement adjustment documents are being finalized right now. Next, we're going to be evaluating the quotes for the work, and we're going to have a pretty strong look at the sequence planning for the physical waterline relocation, meaning anticipated interruptions and continuity and contingency planning. And I'll let you know as soon as I know more about that. Last item is the traffic signal at USA Parkway and I-80. It's about 98% complete. We did talk to Carson City about extending our agreement with them. We have an agreement with them to monitor and maintain the traffic light at USA Parkway and Electric. We were given a flat no from Carson City in terms of adopting that light, that signal light up at I-80. So we're working with MDOT on this. It looks like I did talk with Mr. Oljevolk at MDOT a little bit earlier. They're going to work with us on getting the cabinet program, the initial program that goes into this, and then helping us locate a private company to deal with the 24-hour monitoring and 24-hour emergency response for both of those lights. We'd like to not piecemeal it, but have a single point of contact for our traffic control system out there. And then, of course, along with the additional signal, there's going to be another spare parts inventory and a maintenance budget. I'll be working with county staff to get that organized and quantized. And that's all I have for you, gentlemen.
Great.
May I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would normally not do this, but for compelling reasons, I ask that we hit the pause button on the remainder of item 5 and also, the remainder of item 6 and also item 7 and hear all pertinent items dealing, I believe there are 8 and 9, hear all pertinent items dealing with the USDA, and I'm going to explain why. The two people sitting to Sherry's immediate right, you know, we pay by the hour. That, while that's somewhat important, the lady sitting to Sherry's far right is the lady with the money that just treats us extremely well. She's Cheryl Couch from USDA, so we'd like to move this through quickly.
Okay. Any questions for Mike?
None.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and leapfrog over to item number 8. This will be discussion on possible action. And we will come after 8 and 9. We will come back and finish up item 6. This is the approval of the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development Loan Grant Resolution for the continuation of financing of the Story County 5-mile water line and hillside tank project. Ms. Nettles.
Good morning, Sherry and Evan. For the record, you just called out the item that we have here today in front of you. You'll recall that we received a loan from the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development for $2,126,000 to finance the construction of the 5-mile waterline replacement project. This loan had an interest rate of 1.375% for 40 years. The waterline project has been completed on time and under budget. With that being said, we've been working now for a couple of months with USDA to utilize the remaining funds available in the project, which amount to $569,109, which is a slightly different number than appeared on the agenda action sheet because I wasn't counting in engineering and design on that. The total project cost that we're looking at for replacing the hillside water tanks, which are basically in a state of disrepair, they cannot be fixed anymore. We had some divers come out, and there's one tank that they can't even dive into anymore because of the condition. So we're looking right now at the, you have the cost sheet there. We're looking to do the base bid plus alternate A, which comes at a total cost of $1,784,860. We'll be able to utilize those remaining funds towards this. And in addition to that, USDA is agreeing to grant us $737 in grant funds and $701,000 in loan funds. Those loan funds are going to be at an interest rate. The interest rate right now is about 2.5%, and again, that'll be at 40 years. We've done all the required environmental updates that we had to do to that, published the FONSI. You may have seen that in the newspaper. And I think, you know, with your approval today, we'll be ready to move forward with completing this project. So. You have the letter of conditions that was sent. It wasn't in the packet because we got it on Friday, but you have a copy of it here, and it's available to the public as well. So it spells out kind of what we'll be looking at. So basically, we've gone from the $2.126 million to $3.564 million. So of that, $737,000 is grant money. So we're very fortunate to be able to receive that from USDA. On the original waterline replacement project, that was loan money only. We didn't have any grant money going into this. So, you know, that's a considerable amount, around 55% grant funding is kind of what we're looking at with this project. So.
It's terrific. It's been a long time in coming, too, to replace this aging equipment. So,
you have any other questions? Like Pat said, we have Cheryl Couch here with USDA, who's happy to answer anything. We've pulled together all these funding documents. Everyone has worked mountains. I mean, Far West, county staff, Cheryl and her staff, they have to obligate funds by May 10th. So we're the 7th today. May 10th is Friday. So, you know, we're coming right up against a deadline, but we're ready to move forward if you guys are so willing to support us in this.
I know. Cheryl's always great when it comes to the creative financing, Story County. we've been saying this ever since I've been on this board, but we can't do it without you. We can't do it without USA, with the rural development portion of this, of the government. It's just small counties like Story County. This is one of the great ways of getting some of our money back without having earmarks. So it's terrific. Yeah, we can't thank you enough for all your effort and your whole team. Yeah. We've had a lot of groundbreaking and ribbon cuttings over the years. It's wonderful. I mean, working on a 150-year-old system and finally bringing it up to modern-day standards is quite the feat. Yeah. Commissioners?
I echo your comments. One, thank you very much.
I'll say the same. Thank you. We appreciate it.
And I might add that I had to briefly mention politely to the two individuals that it was about time to take their hats off. I say that tongue in cheek only because Cheryl probably is wearing currently for USDA 5, maybe 6 hats due to staff changes across the state. And again, her time is invaluable to us, so thank you.
Okay, so before I call for a motion, I'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this.
For the record, Sam Soul, Gold Hill. Sherry, great job on putting together this package. Congratulations also to Mike for having the project, the previous project, come in on time and under budget. Great work. And people in Gold Hill are very grateful for those efforts in improving the water system that I think represents one of the best and most, perhaps one of the more profound engineering feats in certainly the Western United States. My question is, will the loan that we're taking out, repaying over 4 years, will that have any impact on the ratepayers?
Luke, will you take that one?
For the record, Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering. Earlier this year, at the start of the fiscal year, the county approved a task order for us to review water and sewer rates here in Virginia City and Gold Hill. We have been, we've been looking at the impacts of all of these capital projects on rates. We have some recommendations to the county. We haven't finalized anything where we would look to approve or, you know, make a motion at a public meeting. But I would say the impacts are very minor, more of a cost of living or keeping up with inflation type recommendation right now. But it's not going to drastically impact rates as a result of this loan.
And I would put it maybe, Sam, in more generic terms. We've met, I think, 3 times now, Hugh, with Far West on the status of their rate analysis. The options are all across the board. And we are, through Hugh's help and Far West, in modeling different scenarios, trying to minimize the impact. But I will tell you, our rates are going up. You know, they have to. They would have had we not done this latest yet. We're just trying to minimize the amount and keep it competitive with other areas.
Yeah, I do know that we have we have under consideration the sewage processing plant that we're considering down in Gold Hill, and so that, of course, will similarly impact the community. I'd like to take a moment to thank Ms. Couch for her time. I spoke with her over the telephone on a concern that I had about the sewage processing plant, and she was very forthcoming with information and. A partner like the USDA is something that we are very grateful for in Story County and couldn't do without. So thank you very much.
So any other public comment? Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Then I go ahead and get a motion to approve this.
I'll move to approve United States Department of Agriculture USDA Rural Development Loan Grant Resolution for the continuation of financing of the Story County 5-mile waterline and hillside tank project.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
One more thing to add that there will be some additional documentation that I'll work with you, Marshall, to get signed off on.
Okay. Great. So with that, we'll move on to item number 9, which is discussion and possible action. Notice of intent to file a loan grant application with the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Rural Utility Service, Water and Wastewater Disposal Systems for Rural Communities Program for the purpose of financing the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant project. Ms. Nevin.
Okay. Again, Sherry Nevin for the record. The item you have before you today is our notice of intent to file a loan and grant application with USDA for financing of the Gold Hill Wastewater Disposal System. We met here with you guys back on April 2nd. We kind of presented the project at a very high overview level, and you sent us off with direction to kind of look at things a little bit further, come up with some concept drawings, and to say that everyone has been very busy here the last month and a half working through all that. So we have some drawings for you today. We have some photos of existing conditions of the area that we're looking at down there that we wanted to make you aware of. Austin's going to cut the light so you can kind of see. These photos right here were taken a week ago on Friday. And as you can see, we have sewage on the top of the ground there. If you wanted to
comment on some of the photos that Sherry's got on the slides here. This one, there you go. Right there. Let's grab that one first. Okay, this, if you see the little hillside there, I'm going to say to the west, you can see where the raw sewage is leaching out of the leach field there, thus the pooling down below in the ditch there. So this is a big concern. As you well are aware, the county has already received two violation notices, and NDEP has been real good to deal with, knowing that we're going to replace this failing on-site disposal system in its entirety. So this, you know, is basically raw sewage flowing onto the ground down there. These are just a couple of aerial Google Earth views of the site. And you can kind of make out the leach fields. The storage tanks are right there where Sherry's got the pointer. And then further to the south, if you come downstream, is where the breach is in the field. If we move, that's just another Google Earth view, just a little bit closer in proximity. You see the New York shaft there and subsequent buildings up to the north. There's the Dufresne residence right there. And then go ahead and move out of those. Yeah, just grab the next one. That's looking northwest or northeast, I'm sorry. You can see the amount of infiltration into the ditch there. Luckily, it's seeping into the soils to the southeast and not flowing into the creek. So I guess that could be considered a blessing on our part. That's where it kind of ends there. That's looking southeast, more down canyon, into Gold Canyon. The agenda item, basically, and Sherry will discuss a little bit, but I just want to point out the fact that staff has been real busy the last couple of months, and as you're well aware, you guys have mentioned it here several times earlier on the other agenda item. We're fortunate that we have USDA to partner with on these projects. You'll recall that we initially applied through the state revolving fund for $530,000. in principle forgiveness on this project. When we went back to the drawing board, taking into concerns that were brought forth at the prior meeting before the commission, the way it was going to look down there, the aesthetics, the view shed, can we put the plant under roof? We certainly can. We have some conceptual drawings to show you on that. But I just wanted to say that once we met and, you know, we realized that we needed additional funding, because now this project's about 1.6, USDA is coming to the table with 83% grant funds and about 17% loan. So that's a nice gift that I think that they're giving to us. So the loan amount on the total project's only going to amount to about $264,000. So, but we're moving forward. We hope that you'll approve the funding package. And then we can move forward with design, you know, finalized design, engineering, the drawings, the concepts, how it's going to look. And then, of course, we've got to appear before the Planning Commission and the Comstock Historic District Commission as well. And I think Sherry probably has some notes, so I'm not going to steal her thunder on that, but just wanted to kind of go over those slides with you a little bit.
And if I can jump in and just kind of summarize just a little bit of what Mike said, you know, it's often that we get to brag and thank and gush about our relationship with USDA, RD. I think this approach amazes me, because it's not just the federal government and the local government working together, but it's also the State Revolving Fund coming up with their equivalent of a grant of $535,000. So if our cost currently pegged it at $1.6 million, as Mike has said, a loan of $264,000, I think if Mr. Toll came back up and asked the same question again about will it impact rates, when the day's done, it'll be amortized over every ratepayer on the sewer system. So this is pretty darn negligible. It doesn't get any better than that. So thank you.
Okay, so we'll continue on here. At the April 2nd meeting, you provided authorization for us to apply to the Nevada Clean Water State Revolving Fund. We have come up with cost estimates since that meeting, and they are still on board to provide us with $530,000 in principal forgiveness, which you could basically consider that a grant. The estimated cost for the project is $1,579,800. And like I said, it is anticipated we're going to receive the $530,000 from the State Revolving Fund in principal forgiveness, $264,000 in USDA loan funds, and again, that huge grant amount of $785,000 from the USDA. We've showed you a few of the photos there of the current state and kind of what it looks like on Google Earth. And now we want to kind of present to you the proposed location. Jen and Luke from Far West are here. We have some concept pool 3D drawings that we've prepared for you to kind of take a look at and see what we've come up with. Keep in mind, as Mike mentioned, we do have to go before the Comstock Historic District as well as the Planning Commission, but we're willing to, you know, take that on and get that done so we can get moving with this as quickly as possible to minimize those impacts down there to that sewage that we have that's very visible. So, you guys want to come up? And I'm sorry, I don't have a fancy pointer. So, this here is just kind of an overview of the proposed building location in relation to the site there. Sorry, it's not all that great, but it kind of gives you an idea of where we're looking at that there. So, you know where we're at with that.
Sure, definitely.
Okay. Jennifer Heeren for the record from Far West Engineering. These are just some drawings, as Sherry mentioned, of sort of conceptually
sort of rough in where we, approximate building size, where we think it's going to go, what we think it could look like, taking into consideration the history of the Comstock and kind of the surrounding area.
Jennifer, can I ask you this a little bit closer to the That way the audio will get picked up a little bit better.
Oh, sure, yeah. I was just saying this is kind of some conceptual drawings we've come up with just to show history of the Comstock, what we think this building to enclose the equipment may look like. We have several different views. Kind of imagine you're driving north on the highway here. You would see this over onto the right-hand side or the east side. We'll need to have access for a truck to come in to address the different solids waste. Well, that's kind of what we've provided here. Access for a truck to come in, some landscaping, better than a chain link fence. We want to be able to fence in part of this property here.
Is your through driveway?
Yes, a through driveway, so that way the truck isn't pulling around. This can all be gravel area. If the county would like it to be paved, it can be paved. This is sort of similar to a site layout for the wastewater treatment plant off of Six Mile Canyon, where you can pull in and then the facility is sort of compact in that area. Keep going. Oh, that's the last one. Okay. I think that's all we have really to show. We brought some other pictures if you wanted to kind of get a closer look. We provided many of these ones that Sherry had are on here as well. And then finally, just one larger view of the rendering of what a building could look like.
Yeah, so keep in mind, this is still preliminary. They're subject to revision, but I think it gives everyone a good idea of the concept right now. I know at the last meeting, that was heavily discussed, but, as we talk about the funding option, we now have a picture to go in all of our brains with it.
That's great. Are we going to be using any more audio or visual on the wall?
No.
Okay. Nicole, would you mind turning the lights back on for us? So, Lance, is this pretty much what you were looking for?
Yeah, very much so. I'm delighted with the direction we're headed on this, and thank you very much for the extra effort. And, Sherry, I understand you say this is going to go before the Planning Commission, mm-hmm. So we'll make the presentation there. Have you had any feedback at all from the local community there, or are we waiting for Planning Commission to do that?
I think we're kind of waiting for the Planning Commission. That was our plan. That's kind of a good venue that we've seen for other such projects to kind of be able to do that through. So we've been working with Austin and Kathy. They've been kind of into the fold of our growing group of folks that are meeting, at least once a week. And I mean, we're working with Cheryl and the folks from Far West daily, multiple times a day.
Well, I applaud your efforts. It's obvious that it's something we're going to have to take care of, having the breach that we have down there. But you're certainly moving in a direction to make it more palatable, and I thank you very much for the extra effort there.
All right. Well, we open up for public comment now. Johnny, do you want to come? I know that you're directly affected by this. Do you want to come up and talk?
John Dufresne, property owner and resident. On the conceptual drawings here, the driveway is cut right across our property. And we're still planning on using our existing driveway as an access. How is that supposed to work?
Let's get the engineer up here.
Yeah.
And have him address it.
Get over here.
I think it's Mark. It'll go to planning.
It's probably best to look at what
this is property.
I will say, as part of this, we are resolving some of the parcel boundary issues with the maps because the where lines are shown currently are not per deed. So we're resolving that. you know, the entrance from the south is beneficial because it's basically flat off the road, and right now climbing this hill isn't great, but if we do bring in a truck to pump, turning around on this site is going to be, would be complicated. So right now we have the driveway going through the old driveway. We could keep it completely on the Story County parcel if needed, if there's issues there with access easements and those items.
Just recently, because we have to have pumps so often, we put a culvert in across here, and the honey wagons crushed the culvert. And we went to the county and asked for, you know, to have to fix it. And they did fix it, sort of. But so we put in a secondary access that they're able to use and get down there. And it is, you know,
a couple turns.
Also, I would propose to move the building as far away from the residence as possible. And then it looks like that's kind of an open-air building.
There will be, we do have ventilation there, you know, we do show doing some type of metal screen up top or kind of a louvered vent. I mean, we do need air to circulate in there. But we, I mean, this is preliminary. We can work on any type of look there.
Yeah. I mean, it's so close to, you know, my dad's house that having that, just that open, you know, without any scent mitigation, is going to be unacceptable.
Well, we're going to have full odor control with this facility, and that's going to be obviously very, very important, is to mitigate any impacts to odor and noise in the area. I know that placing the building on this side, I realize it's closer as the crow flies, but it is kind of more shielded by these trees, and it's tucked against the hill, but we can play around with it.
Yeah, and even over here, you have more configurations to maneuver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably more visible as it's closer to the road than if it's towards the hill.
Maybe it might look like a little more like a mill building than just a regular building. You know, just kind of tweak the roof a little.
Okay.
And then also we're going to need lab space in there to, you know, to day-to-day operations. So if you break it up so it's not just square, you know, it just has a little jog.
You know, break it up a little bit.
Yeah, but we're going to need to, you know, actually be doing the operation of the plant as well.
I found that engineers are very good at making things square and plain and very ugly to the eye. But yes, I agree. Well, you know, putting on a little pop out.
And this is, it is steep. In the wintertime, you know, unless you do major improvements on that.
And we haven't ran all of the truck turning scenarios. Like I said, this is our you know, version one here. You know, ideally, it'd be great if we could access here and return access down with
I think if, you know, move it over here, then we would have more room to maneuver.
And hopefully, John, I think we're here today simply to approve the funding mechanism.
Right.
But I think we're making great progress in terms of beginning to get visuals, more input from the family, changes to the visuals, more input again. So we stay committed to that process regardless of the interactions between the county, Far West, and the family.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it from two sides here,
right.
You know, operational and impact. But yeah, this kind of believe is feasible. You know, just, first of all, this corner here is very sharp for those large rigs to get in and out. It's very steep.
we could, you know, we could do like a Google Earth thing and work on some stuff placement, and then you could, you know, do your trees shield and maybe some up here, you know, that we'll work on.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Who else had public comment?
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. These drawings look interesting. The big question that I have for the board is the location and the selection of this property in the first place. It, unlike the existing sewage treatment plant here in Virginia City, which is completely out of eyesight and hidden from the view, this facility will be in plain view, both coming and going up and down Gold Hill Highway and in the shadow of the New York mill, or mine, excuse me. Regardless of how much lipstick you put on it, it's still going to be a project that is incompatible, incongruous with the historic district. And my question is, I know that there's ample property that's under the control of Comstock Mining to the west of the highway, which I've done some walking around. Of course, I've walked there quite a bit as a kid, that would potentially be, would have less impact on the community and certainly much less impact on my neighbors, the Dufresnes. So I think that, you know, this, obviously we have a problem. The sewage is leaking. In fact, the water potentially could come down the hill and run right through my dad's driveway as it did in 2017. So this is something we have to address. But my concern is that, you know, much like the Justice Center, we're under the gun and we're making decisions that we would perhaps take more time with and look for more solutions if we weren't under the penalty of the clock. Has there been any consideration of any other property to house this facility?
I would tell you, Sam, it's A, it's property we own. B, it's already in the sewer system area, so I guess our answer point blank is probably not. I don't know of any. Luke, okay. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, the issue is that I've discussed this matter with other residents in Gold Hill, and there's a tremendous concern about all of the issues that Mr. Dufresne raised, as well as many others, including the ones that I have. So I would suggest that rather than blaze full steam ahead and work on this as simply our only solution and something that is frankly, you know, what the community is going to have to put up with or deal with or accept, that we look at other sites that may be more advantageous to both the consistency of the historic district and the communities, and certainly, you know, the potential impact on the people who are going to have to live within the breezeway. Is that something that we can consider?
One thing I want to add on the alternate locations, we did do an alternatives analysis as part of this project initially when we looked at options when, you know, we didn't even want to go to a full-blown mechanical treatment plant. That wasn't ideal. And we looked at all county-owned properties in the area, and there was nothing feasible for a different type of treatment. And I would say for a mechanical plant, it would also include a lift station there. So you would be greatly changing the scope of this project and the cost of this project, where it probably would no longer be ideal. So we have looked at other properties specifically for that building and that site. No, but related.
And by doing the lifts, we greatly increased our environmental risks in terms of pipe failure, mm-hmm. that type of stuff.
Yes.
Well, I'd also just comment that prior to my tenure as the Public Works Director, the prior Public Works Director looked at some other properties below this site, to do something with, because this thing started to fail really probably a few years after it was installed. And they looked at some alternative sites, like Sam said, some of the private property, and there was no appetite back then to sell any of that property off or trade for this particular purpose. So I just wanted to throw that at you.
Okay.
It has been something that was like that
prior. Thanks, Mike. Is there any additional public comment?
I'd like to close, Mr. McBride,
by... This isn't a closing thing. Sam, this is public comment.
Very good. I'd like to continue with my public comment.
No,
thank you.
I think you've exhausted your time, Mr. Stoll. It's time to move on.
I know that we have leverage with Comstock Mining and that there would be options there as well. And I can tell you that the folks in Gold Hill are not do not have the same appetite that that the commissioners may for this to proceed forward. So you may be hearing more from us at the Planning Commission.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to make mention, too, that the wastewater treatment plant here in Virginia City is heavily visible to those folks who travel Six Mile Canyon on a daily basis, and we see, you know, thousands of cars using that roadway every day. And it's concealed very nicely there. You know, we did a lot of work with the historic district. It took, you know, a few years to kind of get a nice drawing there, but it blends in well with the landscape, and I think that's our intention with this as well. So.
Exactly.
John, your friend, I'm speaking as the operator now.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that addressing Sam's question is that because that site is already contaminated, EPA will not let us use an alternate site.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Additional public comment? All right. So, if I can get a motion to go ahead and approve this loan grant application.
I move to approve the filing of a loan grant application with the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Rural Utilities Service, Water and Wastewater Disposal System for Rural Communities Program for the purpose of financing the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant Project and upon USDA RD providing a final loan grant funding package to authorize the chairman of the board or his designee to sign obligating documents.
I'll second that.
Been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Great.
Thank you, and I will work with the commission chair and Cheryl here in the next couple of days to get those documents.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Ms. Gosh, for coming up today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the engineers and the staff will continue to work with the, you know, with the location and the building structure and that, as John has asked for. Okay. Right. We're going to go back to item number 6. Continue on with the staff reports. Look into the audience to make sure everybody's still here. Hi, Eric, since you're standing up, representing the community chest in the library, Eric Schoen.
I just have one announcement. Eric Schoen, for the record, community chest. As a reminder, we will have Roseanne Cash here Friday night. It may be a busy busy night on C Street, with 300 plus people coming to see the show. And we had explored the option of closing the street in front of Piper's Opera House and making it sort of a street festival style. That's just a little bit more ambitious than we're capable of doing. So especially with the street being closed in front of the Delta, didn't seem like a prudent move. So the street will not be closed. It'll be open. And we will be opening doors at 7 o'clock for patrons to come in and begin festivities. So it's the only announcement I have.
Great. Anything for Eric? Thank you. Okay, representing the Fourth Ward School. Laura Mather, how are you doing today?
Okay. For the record, Laura Bather, Historic Fourth Ward School Museum.
Hold on just 1 second, would you please?
Sure.
Can I get somebody to close the back door? Go ahead and continue. Thank you.
I wanted to give an update on the restoration project that began last week on the Fourth Ward School building. It is done through grants from the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation through the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, plus additional funds that we have, the foundation has added to that. All of the work will be done according to the Secretary of Interior Standards for Treatment of Historic Properties. And what it is the south and west side of the fourth floor of the building. We are doing repair, hopefully, but it's looking like a lot of replacement of the flashing, the shingles, the siding, that kind of stuff. Last week we had a hose that ran out from the boys' bathroom out the back, up the side of the building, onto the roof, and we did some water testing to see exactly where those leaks were. So based on that information, we are doing replacement and repairs on those sides of the building. So you're going to see or probably have noticed a couple of guys hanging off the building. They're using the roof anchors that we installed. I believe it was last year when we installed 13 roof anchors. So they're able to use those in lieu of very, very expensive scaffolding. Those repairs will take approximately 4 months, so they'll be working through the summer on that section of the building. The grant was quite substantial, but not when you think of what it costs to do that kind of work on that building. So we are working with Custom Manufacturing, who did a lot of the replication of the original gingerbread decorations on the building when restoration first started in the 1980s. So we're working with them. They actually had to purchase special tools to recreate a lot of the woodwork on that building. So it's going to be quite an expensive project, but I'm looking forward to it not raining and snowing on the fourth floor, on the interior of the fourth floor. That's one of the projects that we will be working on this summer. The other two projects that the community will notice are the retaining walls. We have a retaining wall on the west side of the building that's between the building and the street. That retaining wall has is very close to completely collapsing. So I had steel pipes drilled into the ground to shore up that retaining wall so it doesn't completely fall over. The north side of the building, that retaining wall also has to be replaced. It is leaning but still structurally sound. So I'm working with Paul Ferrari Engineering, and he's helping me to, or actually he's designing it, to design a retaining wall that is best for that spot. So it is about 5 feet from the building and then has in the highest section, which would be the west side, drops about 9 feet, and it's right on the property line. So we're working, doing the best we can to create a wall that's going to hold up that side of the building and also deal with the property line and the drop that it has there. So again, I just wanted to make sure that everybody's clear that those steel pipes that were drilled into the ground are temporary. That's just keeping the wall from completely falling over. So those are the other two outside projects that we will be doing over the summer. Hopefully people have noticed that our American flag is missing on the top of the building. That's not anything scandalous, I promise. Cable that is the flag cable broke last year, and so the county generously brought over their articulated man lift, which is 85 feet tall. It's not high enough to help us replace that cable. I have a new cable. It's a much it's a much stronger cable that should last for a long time. The problem is I estimate that flagpole is about 105 feet up. So I am on a massive search for a man lift that is at least 105 feet. and a guy that's at least five, or a 100-foot man lift and a guy that's at least 5 feet tall, that can help us put our flag back up. So I want to make sure everybody knows that we are working on getting our American flag back up on the building. You can see that when you come into town from the north, you can see that flag flying proudly up on the Fourth Ward School. So I am working on getting that up. So if anybody out there knows of somebody who has a man lift that is at least 100 feet tall, please send them my direction.
And Laura, I'm going to add, you have friends in pretty high places, because the sheriff has been communicating with me that he's looking at very creative solutions with people that might be able to help us, but that's not a commitment yet.
Okay, okay. Wonderful. That would be greatly appreciated, because it is, it's, you know, it's our American flag. I mean, and it, you can see that from every end of the town, and it, I feel bad that it's not up there, but I have a hard time going to the top of the bell tower, let alone up and then onto the flagpole, so that's not going to happen.
We're the flagpole climbers when you need them.
Yeah. Exactly. I think they're there, but then when they come and see how high up that actually is, it is way up there. So we are working on that. Any questions for me, any of this?
I just wanted to mention that we had the grand opening party this weekend. It was a great time. I appreciate you putting the effort together to get everybody together, so it was a nice event.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for your report, Laura.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Director of Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacy Gilbert.
Nothing today.
Nothing, Stacy? Okay. Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Nothing today. I have an item on the agenda, Okay.
Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Jeff Nevin, Fire Chief. As you may have noticed when you walked into the slammer this morning, there was a new addition in the alcove by the elevator. That's our bleeding control kits that most of the county employees have gone through the training for, and all the school district has gone through. We received 9 of those kits, been dispersed throughout the county. Thankful for a grant that we have in cooperation with the Quad County Health Preparedness. They were able to get us those, provide us the materials for the training. I have an employee in the fire district that provided all that training, so all those kits are up and throughout the county. One here, Pipers, all 4 schools, so seems to be a pretty good program, and I've had very positive feedback from everybody that's gone through that, so I believe he's finishing that up today. We hired our remaining 3 seasonals 2 weeks ago. They went through orientation in the county and the fire district, and then we sent them off to a week-long seasonal academy with NDF, where they were it was based on a fire incident, so they were working 12 to 16-hour days, PT, hiking, classroom stuff, helicopter transports, things like that. They all enjoyed that, and we've got them back now, and they're working on their projects. Which brings me to the Bailey Canyon and the Geiger projects that I'm sure you've seen driving down the grade. We're hoping the weather cooperates with us and we get that cleaned up and finished up before the start of fire season. So, and then once they finish that, we'll begin working on our residential, courtesy residential surveys through Mark Twain, the Highlands, and the Painted Rock areas. Those are basically the 30-foot clearance surveys that we do for the residents. Kind of gives them an idea of what needs to be cleared around their homes to create a defensible space. So we'll be starting that hopefully within the next 2 weeks. And then finally, one of our more pressing projects is the fuel break that we created above Virginia City about 5 years ago. We're going to get in there and clean that up, clear the weeds, and make that a more defensible area above town. So that's keeping us pretty busy right now. If you have any questions.
I do.
Yes.
Is there any plan to do to work on the fire breakdown in Mark Twain, like that was worked on 4 years ago or five years ago?
Yeah, we've run some mechanical equipment through there a couple years ago, and my lead seasonal has been evaluating the projects that we need to get back to. So I believe that is on the list. I'd have to verify it and check, but we can most definitely make some time to get down there.
Okay. I've been asked by a few residents, so I just wanted to bring it up. Thank you.
Anything else?
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. County Fire Marshal, Martin Acevedo.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martin Acevedo, County Fire Marshal, for the record. Okay, community development. Last month, we did 106 inspections. That includes fire inspections, building inspections, new construction, annual inspections. Things out in the park are getting busy, and we are basically running and gunning out there. Just a quick update on the Delta incident. As a lot of people can see, they are starting to work on that north wall. Finally got some movement. We're going to stabilize that north wall. Once the north wall is stapled, we're going to go in and shore up the inside of the building so we can continue our work at that point in time, make it safe for everybody to work in and around that building. Once that north wall is shored up, we're going to try to have some kind of traffic movement up Union Street, have part of that open at least a little bit, and the walking pedestrian way. This Thursday, I have a state fire marshal audit on our interlocal agreement, which is an annual thing. It's nothing unusual. They'll come in, look at some of the inspections that we did with the schools, some of our plan reviews. We'll take a look at those, make sure we're doing them correctly. Pretty simple stuff. Got it all handled already and everything laid out for them. Again, as the fire chief mentioned, wildfire season's coming. Just kind of want to reiterate to everybody, make sure you have your clearances around your homes. You know, we saw what the devastation was last year in Paradise, California, and some areas in Nevada. Just want to make sure you have all those things cleaned up so we don't have any kind of incidences up here with that. And that's about all I have at this point. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All things that pertain to water projects. Mike Nevin. Nothing more? Okay. Thanks, Mike. Director of Planning and HR, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. I'm just going to review per our agenda some bills in the legislature that's going on and then just one planning item. Federally, the pay in lieu of taxes bill is roaring about and Nevada NACO is taking lead with the Nevada counties on how to approach the new PILT legislation. Essentially what the PILT legislation is designed to do is to provide very small counties more PILT than what they currently are getting. Some counties get upwards of $1 million in PILT, hundreds of thousands, and some like us get about $30,000 in PILT, give or take, depending on the year. This new bill could result in us getting over $100,000 a year in PILT. So we're working together on this as a unified mission to hopefully get this approved, and our Porter group in Washington is also working with us in Nevada NACO and Dagny's group on this. As far as state goes, I'm just going to hit on a couple of these. There's lots and lots of bills, but these are the big ones for us. We have SB 48 diesel tax. Mr. Gallagher is going to come up and talk with us as well during his budgets. Just in general, this is passed the Senate, 17-4. There's a hearing tonight at 4 o'clock on moving it to the next step, and it is, most importantly, enabling legislation that, if it does approve in the legislature, would likely be up to the counties to be able to decide if they would or how they would like to have that type of provision approved. SB 210, this is community solar. This was a bill that would allow a solar farm to serve 5 or 7 or 10 or so local users. It's dead. AB 62, water study. This is important for us. It requires local water jurisdictions and entities and GIDs to do a study on the future of potential water. I'll talk about in a moment. We are going to undergo a massive Marlette water study and the entire south end of the county water study that will really make this bill moot for us, because we're going to do it over and beyond anyway. Many other bills regarding collective bargaining, union benefits, and those sorts of things, a lot of them have been combined and put together. The only thing I know is the governor's office has made very strong, or governor himself has made very strong statements to the union groups and to folks that are pushing bills that are completely out of control, and telling them go back to the legislature and do it right and bring bills that are common sense. He has taken a little bit of an approach, saying that some of these bills are not appropriate. And last but not least, we are undergoing, you'll see in the budget, about $80,000 to undergo a water study for the whole Marlette system for Virginia City, Gold Hill, and the local Comstock area. Part of that study, what we'll look at, is there the potential to expand a water system? Don't know for sure where the water source would be, but to expand that water system out to the Highlands and maybe Mark Twain. And we're going to look at all of the potential build-out of those areas and what potential water sources may be and how to potentially move water to those areas if possible. That's very beginning. It's very low-key at this point, but we can move forward on that. Thank you.
Any questions for Austin?
Great. Thanks, Austin. Over to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. This is now the game playing and the financing part of the legislature, which we all know is exciting and can go either way. I mean, I don't think there's a sports book in town that's going to figure out how this thing's going to end up. But right now, a lot of that stuff's to the money committees. So there's about 300 dead bills of this nature. And for the most part, Austin went over the prevailing wage stuff. It's all going to come down to probably the final week, as we probably all know, trying to figure out where all these bills are. They have been amended several times, trying to get either something out or something in. Our two lobbyists, Murray Walker and Bum Hess, I had a conversation with him this morning. There's nothing really earth-shattering coming about right now, although this is the time when people start adding and subtracting and trying to reintroduce something that was denied or thrown out and trying to put in another bill. The marijuana bill is still up and going, although that has been amended for the public safety content, public safety areas, where if they showed a some usage during their employment interview, you couldn't use that as a thing to discount or not to approve their application. Everything is now pretty much kind of in Finance Committee, Ways and Means. The traffic fines, we had a particular problem with as far as traffic fine, court fees, juvenile fees, taking everything from being to a civil part and therefore not being able to collect from those individuals. There's been a lot of movement in the last 2 or 3 days to amend a lot of this out of there. Again, we really don't have a clue. We'll wait and see. Same-day elections seem to be We had another fiscal note that we had to put in. That's still alive. Public records, most of the contentious bills, I think, are trying to get amended that really doesn't put the county at an extreme burden. And for those people who just do it because they want to have the county spend money. There are five bills each with regards to Tesla and blockchains. The mood is that probably not much movement will be between now and then, although you never know because we didn't know when SB1 happened during a special legislature. Blockchain bills, some of them are with regards to a recommending them as a currency, which is Bitcoin, and a couple other things. So we will have another update this Friday, and hopefully by the final law this will shake out. I'm worried about the unfunded mandates, and there are still some that are out there that I have pause with, but until I can get a real good number or feeling or some additional information, I probably will not put that in the budget at this particular time.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher? None? Great. Thanks, you. All right. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Keith Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Pat Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two quick items. On April 16th, when the board voted to appoint Austin Osborne as the next county manager effective July 1st, there were two conditions on that. One was successfully negotiating a salary effective July 1 with both the chairman of the board and myself. That has been done. And then as far as background checks, all background checks have been completed except the criminal background check, and fingerprints were submitted to the sheriff's office yesterday, and I'm told that it is three-ish weeks or so, usually. So that is in process. An item we haven't really gotten to a decision point on yet because primarily Keith Loomis and I, and now Hugh to an extent as well, have been doing due diligence, but as we've mentioned before, the county has been asked to consider possible conversion of the governance structure of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center GID, Tri-GID. Currently, it's voter elected, which is problematic, and Keith and I and Hugh have been spending some time. We have a condition report in draft format that I will be reviewing, hopefully with Mike Nevin and also with Jason, you know, to see what their thoughts are as a water and sewer purveyor. I'm going to ask Kristen and Todd if they would nudge their auditor a little bit because Mr. Serrani is due to do a fiscal assessment of Tri-GID. I know he was busy with taxes, but he promised me we'd start seeing things like scope of work and that. It's probably not a real big project. So next time you talk to Jim, tell him Pat says hi. But that's where we are with that.
Great. Okay. Any questions for Pat? Okay. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens? Nothing today? Very good. That will conclude the committee and staff reports. Moving along to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action. Your public comment, start at the far end of the table with Commissioner Carmona.
Just wanted to touch on something related to the budget. When I was going through this with Hugh, we had talked about, I asked him how much we spent on public records requests, and I guess this is geared maybe towards Keith. Hugh said that we spent over $100,000 on public records requests, and what I'd like to know is how much we actually spent last year, and if we have any fees in place. Like the state does and other counties and places like Reno and Sparks, you know, to address those public records requests.
Not all the departments have fees in place. There are some provisions in the state statutes that address those and provide there's some ambiguities that are being addressed in the Nevada Supreme Court. There's a couple of cases up there right now from Clark County and the Las Vegas Review Journal that will clarify some of these issues. But there is a provision that says that counties can charge for the reasonable and necessary costs of creating copies. There's a provision that says that if there's an extraordinary use of staff time, that that can be charged for. There's a provision that says that you can't exceed 50 cents a page in responding to those. And so there's some things to be cleared up, but there is a possible, and we can go ahead and impose some costs department by department. I think the sheriff's office already has fees in place for their provision of records. I don't think that we could actually come up with a figure as to the cost of providing the public records, because a lot of it is staff time, which is not being tracked at this point, though it could be.
I think it's important that we do start tracking that. I mean, 100 grand is a considerable amount of money.
I think that would be a conservative figure.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Anything else, Jay?
That's it for now.
Vice Chairman, Commissioner Gill, comments?
Nothing to do, sir. Thank you.
And I have nothing either. So we'll move right along and on to item number 10. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a presentation of plat and award for the best tasting water of Nevada from the Nevada Rural Water Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Chairman. Bob Forster from Nevada Rural Water Association, for the record. I'm here once again to present the Best Tasting Water in Nevada Awards to Story County Water District. I have a list here of past awards. This was awarded in 2003, 2007, and 2009, so I've been here three other times to present this, and I'm happy to. It's always a pleasure to present this award because it reflects excellence. And you know, you're fortunate to have a real good water source. The Marlette system is very pristine. I've toured it. I'd recommend you go up there and tour it if you haven't. And coming through the treatment process, your staff maintains that water quality and throughout the distribution system. So this award really is for all the people that not only have their hands on the water, but that support the utility. And so it's my pleasure to present this award for the 2019 Best Tasting Water in Nevada.
Congratulations, Johnny. Good job. Blake, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Forster, we look forward to seeing you again next year. People need to learn to throw these plastic bottles away, you know. We do have the best tasting water in America. Moving along now to item number 11, discussion of possible action, consideration of possible approval of the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Guide. Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Curtis, for the record. As you're well aware, Story County has been involved with the group known as the Quad County Response group, if you will, Carson City, Douglas, Lyon County, and Story County, for actually since about 1994, and this has developed over the years to the point that we currently have a emergency operations plan, which we have just revamped, of course, or just upgraded, that essentially is the same emergency operations plan on a generalized basis that is utilized by the other four counties. The purpose of that is that when we have regional-oriented disasters, which involve the need for us to combine our resources in one way or another, that we have the ability to, somewhat like a mutual aid agreement or an automatic aid agreement, we just kind of arbitrarily agree, yeah, whatever you need, we'll get it to you and we'll work together. This particular document is not a formal legalized document. It is more an understanding that we agree that we should all work together and that we will participate in any type of disaster needs or functions that approach that kind of situation. It essentially, I will read to you what is in this and which has been reviewed by the district attorney's office. This multi-agency coordination guide, known as a MAC or MAC, provides the framework for the quad counties to plan, prepare, respond, and recover from an emergency. The quad county MAC includes Carson City, Douglas County, Lyon County, and Story County, along with the quad county public health preparedness or group. The MAC is designed to get the key emergency management personnel and public health leaders to maintain situational awareness, plan for an event, make policy recommendations, maintain and join information sharing, and share resources and allocate scarce resources in a virtual environment. That provides for an opportunity for the quad counties to remain local, but to assist each other without giving up any kind of legal authorities or immediate transition to any state-assisted disaster. So, as a group, we have all sought to sign on and say, "Yep, we're in this all game, this regionalized game together, and we'll work together." So, all the other three counties have completed their signatures to this an awareness agreement, if you will, and we were the remaining one that needs to sign on to this. There is no cost factor involved in this. There is no obligations per se to this group or this organization or agreement. It is merely an acceptance of the fact that we all work together in this. And what happens is, as you probably are aware and have seen, I know all three commissioners were part and parcel in one respect or another in the 2017 federal disaster that we had. So when that happens, being the small county that we are, the other counties are pretty much in the same boat. When you need an extra person to work in your emergency coordination center, if we send someone to Douglas County to assist there, whether it be in a finance or logistics or management or whatever it might be, we pretty much know exactly how they operate because they know how we operate. And that's really all this does. It says, yep, we'll send somebody down to give you a hand because you're shorthanded. We had to run multiple time factors, so it allows us to participate in an agreement faction. So I'm asking for you to consider signing on and accepting an agreement to participate as a group within the Quad County organization.
Does this differ in any way from the mutual aid agreements we have?
Well, it does. It does only in the sense that it is not a legal agreement. Mutual aid agreements normally have some financial factor associated with it. In this particular case, there is no financial obligations involved at all. Any other questions? That's it. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We take an action on this item?
Yeah, you need to approve it, I think. Yes.
Okay. Is there public comment regarding this item? Okay. Well, It's the staff's recommendation that we approve this.
Yes.
White County Multi-Agency Coordination Guide. Can we get a motion to approve?
I move to approve the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Guide and authorize the county manager to sign all associated documents.
I'll second that.
Been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12. Discussion of possible action. BRWPA requests the county funding and participation with NDOT in whole or in part to install two additional horse crossing warning signs in the vicinity of State Route 341 and Cartwright. Good morning, Val.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Before we move forward, Chairman.
I'm Valerie.
I'd just like to disclose that I'm on the BRPA board, but I have no pecuniary interest in this issue.
Okay.
Hi, I'm with the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association, and I am requesting funding for two horse signs, alert signs, on either side of Cartwright on Geiger Grade. There are two signs there now. They're just static signs. And trying to duplicate the new ones that NDOT put in heading south on Geiger past the last church. I don't know if you've noticed it. It's a smaller sign than the bigger ones they have further down that have been there for about 10 years. Anyway, I've been in contact with NDOT through last year and before I spoke with Jay Pullen. As you know, we do have an... Lance, you know there's an issue on USA Parkway 50. Everyone's got issue with the horses crossing. Cartwright, across the toll road, it's a major problem. We've had a number of horses hit there. And when I spoke to Mr. Pullen, he said, well, unfortunately, the criteria for putting up these signs is the number of fatalities. He wasn't talking about horses. He was talking about people. So when horses get hit and killed, if someone may be injured, but if it's not deadly, we didn't qualify for a sign. And then when I noticed the other signs that had been put up there, but prior to that, I had spoken with Tara Smaltz, who took Jay's position, to go through the same scenario about getting some signs, and she said to hold off because there had been a committee formed within NDOT to study where all these accidents were taking place, not just in Story, but in Washoe and Lyon and so forth, and not just horses, but all wildlife. And she said we might qualify to get signs at those locations. Unfortunately, after the study was done, it didn't include that particular section. So when I spoke to her a week or so ago, about the same thing, and she said that NDOT felt that those two signs adequately address the 341 corridor. And it's like, what, a 20-mile stretch? So you see them at the beginning, and you see it coming up north off of 50. So I said, what if I went to a commissioner meeting and requested funding for signs that are existing, but not as they should be? Would you be willing to work with us? And she said that she would. Now, as far as funding for them, I don't know if they want to do that, but Public Works and whatnot, she was very amenable to doing that. And I asked her possibly how much these signs cost. She wasn't willing to tell me that. She said Story County probably had its own vendors, so to check with Public Works, et cetera, et cetera. And then Pat has indicated that you'll know someone at NDOT who might be helpful.
I can discuss that in a minute. Jay, do you want to chime in on costs? And
When I researched this project a while back, the signs are about $4,300 to $4,500. That includes a solar panel, battery charger, or the battery, the pole. The signs are all custom made. They have those LEDs in there, so they actually cut out holes, run an LED strip in there. So they're not cheap. Yeah. You know.
And then I'll go ahead and address. I had promised Val I'd try to shame NDOT into participating a little bit somehow. Actually spoke with the new District 2 engineer, took Thor Dyson's replace. His name is Michael Feast, and Michael's a great guy. I would tell the commission NDOT would willingly do it, but the bureaucracy would probably become something I don't know that it's worth right now. It's not in their budget. It goes through a whole lot of different cycles. At the cost Jay committed, I went ahead and cobbled a staff report together based on conversations with both Val and Commissioner Carmona. I put in not to exceed $12,000. It won't run that high. But, you know, sometimes things just don't come out the way we want. And NDOT's willing to help us. But I think financially we better be prepared to carry the bill, you know, for nine grand-ish. And I think it's something we should do sooner than later. That area, as I explained, I think in the staff report, we'll still have to do it subject to NDOT's permitting and NDOT's oversight because it is their highway. But when you look at the area where I think Val wants to put these, you know, not only is it probably the most heavy trafficked portion of 341 simply because the highlands from both sides of the highway are coming in and going out, but then it's also one of the most open, accessible areas for wildlife, mm-hmm. you know, to cross. So it would be my recommendation to go ahead and do it, and we'll take the money out of roads.
Keith, you want to weigh in?
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. When Bill Maddox left office, he said one of the things that he hadn't completed was a process for funding requests by nonprofit associations. And we did complete that process last year. We began the process where we have the Senior Center and the Fourth Ward School and St. Mary's and all the different nonprofit organizations submit their requests for funding. And to do the actual funding, you have to approve a resolution. First of all, the entity has to qualify as a nonprofit corporation, which this probably does qualify as a nonprofit corporation. And there's some couple of hurdles you have to jump through to actually get the resolutions approved. And so what I would tell the board is that this will require the VWRPA jump through a couple of hurdles, but I can assist them in getting that done.
Keith, could I argue for just a minute?
Sure.
All VRPA's asked is for the county to put in two signs. It's really not VRPA putting in signs. It's VRPA saying there's a need there. We're not handing VRPA money. You know, we are simply buying the signs and installing them the same way as we would in town. Jason recently put up those radar-activated solar ones. Would it still require that process, in your opinion?
It does, in my opinion, yes.
Okay. I tried.
We'll do whatever is necessary to get this done.
Well, is this going to include education programs? You can teach the horses where to cross. We're trying.
Some of them are clever, but some are not. So.
Well, I know the Highway 50 corridor. You know, just before you get when you get to the Mount House area, it's a real big crossing area down there.
There are always horses crossing there. They're always standing down by the roadway. We're always getting them shooed back on the hills. They still do it. So I think NDOT definitely needs to address some fencing down there.
Chasing the train.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would suggest no action.
Yeah, I don't see any action we can take on this, except the only action that could be is to look forward. Would it be us that takes the action? Would it be the wild horse group here? Wildlife, what we can say.
We'll put together a resolution requesting the funding on behalf of the Horse Association and submit it, bring it back to the board for consideration.
Okay.
I hate to be pushy, but could that be done within the next 2 weeks for the next meeting?
Yes.
Perhaps? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. So can I put on the agenda then, or do I need? Okay.
Yeah. Again.
Okay.
I apologize for leaving you off.
No problem. Okay. Thank you for your time, Commissioners.
Any additional public comment on this item?
Will we need to amend the existing motion, recommended motion?
Well,
I don't think there's a motion, Lance. I think just take no action because of the need for a resolution. Which,
all right.
We need a motion to take no action?
Sure.
Yeah. I get a motion to take no action on the side.
I move to take no action on this particular item, approving the authorization of a couple of solar flashing horse warning signs.
I'll second.
Okay, in a second to take no action. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving along now to item number 13, discussion of possible action. Determine and prioritize options to comply with district court order to vacate all justice court activities in the district courtroom, chambers, jury room, and clerk's office within 180 days of their issuance of said order. Mr. Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm talking about this with D.A. Langer last night. I'm really not going to take much time on this particular item. We did commit to carry this item forward on future agendas until we had a solution implemented. There's no point in going over what our priorities are, in my opinion, and in Ms. Langer's, until we get to item number 14. So, again, that's my update for you. I'll fill you in more when we get to the next item.
Okay.
So, again, I would take no action.
Take no action.
Any public comment regarding this item? Motion to take no action?
I move to take no action on item 14.
This is on item 12. Item 13.
I'll second that.
Move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Now we're on to 14.
Yeah.
Discussion of possible action to appoint Tony Wren to appraise real property and improvements located at 800 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, and to appraise the value of the leasehold at that location for lease of a portion of the improvements on the property back to the seller of the property if it is purchased by the county. Mr. Wren has quoted the cost of his services at $4,800. If the county purchases the building, it will be for the purpose of utilizing a portion of the property as a site for Justice's Court offices, IT office, and 911 communications / dispatch work area. Mr. Witt.
Yeah, I had thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had quite a epistle to go over this morning, and I tore it up. Actually got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to work on it. This has probably been one of the most frustrating evolutions ever, in that 2 weeks ago today, actually, it's no secret, Nick and Jesse Fain, Jesse specifically, who works for me, as I've disclosed in my staff summary, came to me and said, would the county consider possibly buying the Divide building, because Nick, who is the gifted person who makes all the trophies and tchotchkes and whatever, had determined that he wanted to move it. We went and looked at it. It's a very deceiving building. It's 10,500 square feet. Now, a portion of that actually is on the upper floor. I believe it's somewhere around 1,800, as I recall, of the fitness area. But the trophy portion of it, manufacturing portion of it, is 5,250 square feet of open space. You know, there are machines, there are walls, but certainly you through removal of the machines done to facilitate movement of the business and also to removal of the walls that, you have a blank slate of 5,250 square feet. So I took that to a very small committee that we have that meets every Monday and turned around and we quickly settled on that as our number one priority as most viable. It may not happen because we have to have it appraised. That's state law. This action item actually is to appoint the appraiser that is ready to appraise the property tomorrow and appraise it for two purposes, as the agenda mentions, to appraise the value of the property that the county might be willing to consider purchasing, and also that Divide Fitness has expressed a desire to continue to operate in that building, even though they would not own it, to also come up with a fair market value of what a lease back on the fitness portion of another 5,250 square feet, might be considered fair rental. It astounds me, I guess, beyond words, and it frustrates me even more when so-called, people, watchdogs, if you will, want to take something that is, in my opinion, a pretty feasible, viable, possible solution. The building's already built. We've got tenant improvements. But as we have publicly stated, we think we can possibly, given the appraisal, come in at about 50 cents on the dollar. So You know, criticize the Thanes all they want, make them millionaires, but that's bullshit. Pardon my French and my disrespect to the commissioners. No fact-checking, no anything. As opposed to yesterday, I had about an hour conversation with a charming woman, you know, who we don't agree necessarily, but her subsequent post indicated that at least we talked and we verified facts, you know. And you know, this is... We knew the Thanes would be subject to criticism. I don't give a damn anymore if I'm subject to criticism. I've learned over the years just to ignore and blow off what I don't care about or who I don't care about. But when it impacts the kids, that's when I get pissed. And so now the Thanes' kids are being asked crazy questions, you know, because of the baloney, the crap that has gotten out there in the blog. So I'm here to tell you, in conjunction with 13 and 14, that should the appraisal come in at an amount acceptable to the Thanes and acceptable to the county, staff probably will recommend we do this because the building is already built. We intend, we hope, to be able to comply with the judge's order. We might not be able to make that. Tenant improvements are already being designed. Justice Harrington was scheduled to meet with our architect, who was up here yesterday, but she was under the weather, so we hope we can get her back together with Pete so her space can be designed. But in essence, we have 5,250 square feet, plus we probably will build a mezzanine on that side, too, to facilitate a little more room for dispatch and IT, high-priority needs as well, but not as high as the judge. So I guess I'm going to get off the soapbox, end it by saying I appreciate people like the lady I talked to yesterday and the lady right up above the Divide Fitness building and her husband who have taken time to talk to me and said, hey, let's, you know, let me get a better picture as to what you're doing and why you're doing it. When they're done, I think they look at it like I briefed each of you guys individually. They kind of look at it and say, wow, kind of makes a lot of sense, instead of jumping to a bunch of decisions with absolutely no fact-checking and no information. So staff recommends, and I apologize for my outrage, but that's what it is. Staff recommends that we appoint Tony Wren to appraise the property. Mr. Wren's a capable and competent appraiser. We've used him in conjunction with our purchase of Pipers in partnership with the school district. He's ready to do it tomorrow. He actually has done some groundwork already, even though he's not considered the appraiser, so you appoint him, and he swears an oath with Vanessa's office. But we got to keep this moving for our commitments and our obligations with the judge, and I think this is a great solution.
Great. Thanks, Pat. I don't know who else has had an opportunity to tour the property. I did when it first opened, just on the fitness side, but not on the manufacturing side. So this last week I was able to see the manufacturing side. And of course, it's a very impressive operation that they have up there. And kind of piggybacking on what Pat has said about this, we have an existing building that's already there. I mean, we've been looking at properties pretty much since I've been working for the county. When the Comstock Chronicle, when Angela moved out of town, she put her office up for sale, and we looked at that, and the judge decided it wasn't quite large enough, even with tenant improvements. So we looked at that, looked at another old building which we could go ahead and reuse. So we've been all over Virginia City looking at properties for almost 6 years, I think, because we knew that we were going to have to make some changes down the road. So we've been working for the last several months on design and plans of building a new complex down by the existing jail and that. I mean, the price tag, and we've been complaining about this since day one, of between $4.2 and $4.5 million. It's just I just think it's an outrageous, outlandish amount of money to have to spend for a new complex. And if the appraisal comes in at a reasonable amount, and we can acquire it and do the tenant improvements, it's going to cost us a lot less money than what it would cost us to build a new structure. And it would you know, it's not turnkey yet, but it would be. We'd come close to the district judge's deadline of vacating this room for district for justice court and the offices as well. So it might not be the most ideal, but it's pretty close to what we're looking for, I think. So. I haven't had anybody object to it to me personally, you know, and I don't take a lot of credence into the nonsense that gets posted in the World Wide Web out there. If people have a real concern, they've got our email addresses, they've got our cell phone numbers, they have our home phone numbers. So people who have a real legitimate concern, they'll call you and talk to you.
And I don't want to put words in Justice Harrington's mouth, but she and I ran into each other in the hallway late last week and had a great talk. And she's excited. She's excited about the opportunities. She's excited to get on with it. So I think, again, we'll be able to take a major portion, 3,000 or so square feet, you know, and hopefully provide her everything she needs as far as courtroom security, adequate facilities, those types of things that we're required to do.
Yeah, we have a property for room for expansion in the future too. So, I think we have a lot of positives there. You guys have concerns on this?
I don't see anything but a positive. We've been looking for an expeditious outcome, something that allows us to perform as closely as possible. We have been looking for cost savings, and we. So we've been looking for an alternative, and we have a number of agendas that we need to approach. We needed to know that our judge was comfortable with where we were going. We needed to be comfortable with the financial decisions we were going to make. And I think it would be ludicrous not to take advantage of an existing facility that's up and ready to go if we can certainly, if we can purchase at a reasonable price. So it would make no sense whatsoever. It doesn't matter who owns the building. It's there. It's here. And they're willing to sell it to us. So I'm 100% behind this project.
Personally, I feel the same way. I've had a few residents reach out with their concerns. I expressed what I knew about the projects. Everything was pretty much put to rest as far as, you know, whatever notions they may have had before talking to me. I personally have toured IT and communications. They desperately need a new facility. That divide building, in my opinion, is perfect. Prior to looking at it, I wasn't a big fan. It didn't look as big as it actually is. We have room to grow, so as far as I'm concerned, it's the least expensive option. It gives us the most flexibility. You know, like I said, if it appraises where it needs to be, I think I'm full steam ahead as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and we'll ask for public comment on this. I'm going to ask those any making comments to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Stay on topic. This is simply to appoint Tony Wren as the appraiser.
For the record, Sam Toll from Gold Hill. I'm up here to suggest that perhaps it might be prudent to employ a second appraiser to make sure that we get a clear and objective and impartial version. I was going to say, you know, with all the money we're going to save by canceling the Battle Born consulting contract, we could afford it, but apparently that contract remains intact. As far as criticism of performance, sadly...
Stay on topic of the appraisal.
Okay, all right, Marshall, I will. Thank you.
Stay on topic,
right?
Please.
There's no... I used to tell my employees...
We're not talking about Battleborn today. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about the appointment of the appraiser, and that's it.
In response to Mr. Witten's comments on the appointment of the appraiser... He said that... You guys, that the criticism of the Fanes was misplaced. And he pointed directly at me without mentioning my name as on a couple of pieces that I wrote. And I would simply like to remind Mr. McBride and Mr. Gilman that there's, you shouldn't confuse hard work with results.
Let me remind you to stay on the topic of the appraiser and not any other conversation that took place.
So when Mr. Whitten gets to...
I want you to stay right on topic.
Okay, very good.
Or surrender the podium.
Thank you. So I would suggest, again, that you contract a second appraiser to get a fair and objective an impartial opportunity to counter Mr. Wren's appraisal that he's going to put forth. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Additional public comment. Hearing nothing else, we can get a motion to approve the appointment of Tony Wren to appraise the real property.
County Commissioner Lance Gilman, move to appoint Tony Wren to appraise real property and improvements located at 800 South C Street in Virginia City, Nevada, and to appraise the value of the leasehold at that location for lease of a portion of the improvements on the property back to the seller of the property, if it is purchased by the county, and at a total cost of $4,800.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All righty, we've continued item 15, so we'll move along to item number 16, discussion of possible action. Consideration of business impact statement prepared regarding the effect on business of amending Story County Code Chapter 3.52, as proposed in Ordinance 19-300 to increase the tax on residential construction. The purpose of the proposed ordinance is to provide additional funds to the Story County School District to use for construction, remodeling, and additions to the school buildings. Copies of the business impact statement are available for review by the public at the office of the county clerk in Story County Courthouse at 26 South B Street in Virginia City, Nevada, or upon request can be delivered by email. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The school district has asked that the Board of County Commissioners consider increasing the residential construction tax, which is designed to raise revenue for the construction of school buildings, renovations, and remodels. The fact that the request is made requires that there be a business impact statement prepared, and that was done at the request of County Manager Pat Whitten, that the school district prepare it, and they have done that. The point of a business impact statement is to provide information as to the impact of a proposed course of conduct on businesses within the county. The school district went out and talked to a number of different contractors. I believe they contacted EDON and some others to get some feedback on what they thought the impact of the residential construction tax would be on their businesses. The response was that basically it wouldn't have an impact on it. They would simply pass the cost of the residential construction tax on to the people that would be purchasing residences or apartments or lots of mobile home parks. So they did the survey. They took results back in. They did prepare the business impact statement, which is within the packet, and is prepared today for approval by the board. And this is for informational purposes only. If they had come back and said, this does have a substantial impact on my business, that does not mean that the residential construction tax can't be approved. It just, at that point, the school district or would be required to consider alternatives to imposing the business, the residential construction tax, to see if there will be ways that we could mitigate the impact on business. And one of the things that's suggested in the business impact statement is that because the proposal that's set out in the ordinance and the following item on the agenda will impose the increase in the residential construction tax over a period of time, that does mitigate the impact on the businesses. And so really, this is for informational purposes. If someone is... doesn't like the business impact statement or whatever happens today, there is an appeal process available in the county clerk's office. It's been set out there the last time we had the business impact statement on the room tax. So that is in place and ready to go. And so it's for your consideration as to the significance of the impact on businesses in the county.
Any questions for Keith? We hammered this out here a couple of weeks ago.
Reasonable.
On this. It's reasonable. Yeah.
And staff does recommend approval.
Right. Okay. We can open up for a public comment on this. Anybody have any public comment regarding the bill number 111 regarding the ordinance 19-3? Hearing none. Do we need to read the ordinance?
It'll be up for first reading in the next item.
We're not on the ordinance. We're on the impact statement.
Okay. We're on the impact statement. Yeah. Okay. All right. No public comment. Do a motion to approve.
I, Lance Gilman, move to approve the business impact statement as provided on the ground that Ordinance 19-300 does not impose a direct and significant economic burden on a business or directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business.
I'll second that.
Moved in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. So now we're on to the next item, 17, discussion of possible action, consideration for a need for increase in residential construction tax, and if the need exists, to have the first reading of Bill number 111 regarding Ordinance 19-300, increasing the residential construction tax in phases over the next 3 years. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. In order to approve a residential construction tax, there has to be a determination by this board that there is a need for the increase. And if the board determines that such an increase is needed, then it has to go to the Nevada Department of Taxation for approval. So what we're asking today is, when the school district is here, prepared to address the question of the need for the residential construction tax. And so I'd ask them to come on up and address it.
Todd Hatt, Superintendent, Story County School District.
Kristen Chandler, Story County School District.
We're here, I think, maybe a little bit over a month ago. NRS 387231 allows for a residential construction tax for populations under 55,000. All of our neighbors are they're at 1,600 for their residential construction tax. The total over the last 3 years is a little over $19,000. $19,305 is the amount of revenues in Story County that we've gained through that tax. It's about $6,435 per year. The monies would be used for, you know, we have one building that's a little over 80 years old. It's a public works project in the Great Depression. I think Marsh alluded to his father attending there when that school got going. We also have some other aging bus fleet and some other aging buildings that we're looking at needing to invest in.
And if is this only for restoration of buildings, or can it be used for new construction as well?
It can be used for new construction.
Okay, because if we end up with a planned community and painted rock or something like that, we're going to need to build a new school. So that would be monies that could come into the school district's coffers to help with that, right?
Sure, urban sprawl and new developments. That's certainly what that's used for out of the general fund.
Right. Yeah, I think it was about a month ago we talked about this. I don't remember the board having concerns at that time. I'll ask them again. But he has any questions or concerns about construction tax?
One of the questions I have is that, as you brought up, if or when Painted Rock develops housing there, is that increase in tax going to still cover the schools here in Virginia City? I mean, is all that money essentially going to get sucked up into the Painted Rock? I mean, I know it's all one, but we still do have to take care of the stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak on Painted Rock. I'm sure right now it's in conception at this point. Typically, it sounds like it depends on, you know, what the developer's willing to give, whether that's property or, a further investment in buildings and things like that. So, you know, we have not had those conversations at this point. Additionally, we're looking at, our capacity to bond as well to invest in, some of the things that we're doing in the schools here.
You know, I can recall, Todd, going back in about the year 2000 or thereabouts when TRI was started, we were struggling terribly as a county. And I recall giving the county about $400,000 to shore up the school. We've been struggling and looking toward improving our school district, and I think our schools have been at the top of the class in so many of the programs. We have a wonderful school system. And so I want to thank you for bringing this forward, and I believe it's timely that we take a look at this at the county. The other thing I'd like to mention here to make it very, very clear, there has been no application from Painted Rock of any kind to do any kind of a project down there, whether and or if it would ever be residential. It's just unknown. And I know there's been rumors stirring that they've made an application, and certainly it's been in the paper they're considering such a thing, and I think they have been since the day they purchased it several years ago. But to date, there have been no discussions, there have been no submittals, and there are no plans currently to develop anything at Painted Rock, and I'd like to make that very clear.
Thanks for clarifying that, Lance.
Yep.
Anybody else need to weigh in on this?
I would just get to the second part of it if you're satisfied with the presentation at this point.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
The second part of this is the proposed ordinance number 19-300, which implements the request that's been made by the school district to increase the residential construction tax, which is currently at $500, and it would increase it in a phased process that it would go to $1,000 for the fiscal year 2020, $1,300 for the fiscal year 2021, and $1,600 for each fiscal year thereafter. $1,600 is currently the maximum amount that is allowed by the statute. And what I'd propose to do is read in the title. This is just the first hearing on this. There will be a second hearing to decide whether to formally adopt this or not. But the ordinance provides that an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 3.52 by increasing the amount of the residential construction tax in phases and providing for other matters properly relating thereto.
One of the shortest ordinance we have.
That's just the title to the ordinance.
That's just the title. Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, can we get a motion to approve the first reading?
I, Lance Gilman, Commissioner, move to find that there is a need to increase the tax on residential construction and to approve the first reading of the ordinance 19-300.
A motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move on to number 18. Do you have to recuse yourself on 18, Lance? This is a business license.
Let me take this under consideration here, 18. Yes, sir. Thank you for asking, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or voting on item 20, as I have a pecuniary interest in the building that is the subject of this liquor license.
Also 18, I think, Lance?
Yes, 18 sir.
And 20.
18 as well?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
And so, item 18, discussion of possible action, approval of the second reading for the general business license for Tommy Knocker's Irish Pub, 20 East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Debbie Ann Boyd. Sheriff Antonoro.
On this, I sent
County Manager Witt in an email. I think he shared it with you all. There's no reason, nothing that we found that would preclude them from having a business license, so we would recommend approval.
Very good. Yeah. Is there any public comment regarding this general business license for Tommyknockers Irish Pub? I actually was there for the ribbon cutting for the grand opening here a couple weeks ago, so she's up and operating. Okay, so I get a motion to approve the general business license, Jay?
Yep. I make a motion to approve the second reading for the general business license for Tommyknockers Irish Pub, located 20 East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Debbie Ann Boyd.
Okay. Second your motion. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to disclose your bond?
This is the general business license.
Okay.
I will, but yeah. Second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the second reading of the general business license for Tommyknockers Irish Pub. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number 19 is to recess the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, which brings us up to item number 20, which is discussion of possible action. The second reading for an on-sale liquor and cabaret license for Tommyknockers Irish Pub, 20 East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is the same, Debbie Ann Boyd. Sheriff Antonoro.
As indicated in my email, the applicant has previously been involved in this type of a business, has shown a good history of involvement in this type of a business, is of sound finance, and appears to be of good character, so we would recommend approval of the license.
Very good. And retired Army.
That too. Don't make her mad.
Right. Any public comment regarding this item? Okay. Total disclosure, I too have a liquor license in proximity to this Irish pub, and voting on this one way or the other would affect that applicant no more than anyone else. So with that, I'll ask for a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the second reading for on-sale liquor and cabaret license for Tommyknockers Irish Pub, located at 20 East Union Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Debbie Ann Boyd.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to approve the on-sale liquor and cabaret license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we're going to welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. We've continued item 21 already. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Liquor License Board and going to convene as the Story County 474 Fire District Board. Bringing us up to item number 23, discussion only. We'll take no action. Review and recommendations of the 2019-20 747 Fire District tentative budget. Official final approval on the final budget to be made May 21st, 2019. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, stakeholders of Story County. This is our second year of doing this, mainly because I would like to keep my job, because if I make too many adjustments between the tentative and final, somebody's going to get mad. So I rather give you what I've got to date, although we've got to go to publication a week from Thursday. However, there are some things that are out there that I know is going to happen. And some of the things that we don't know about are just going to, if I don't know it by next Thursday, it's just going to have to be, for example, on fund bend dates. I have no idea at this point in time where we are going to be with a lot of other things. Understanding that. However, if those unfunded mandates from the legislature create a burden on our budget, then we can reopen the budget at that point in time. So, with that, with regards to the 474 Fire District, their revenue, I have found, is going to increase about $700,000 due to a current year Tesla allocation. There can be potentials in ad valorem I am trying to schedule a meeting with the Department of Taxation on this matter. And it's strictly, it has to do, for the most part, about new property. I cannot get my arms around this, and for the most part, they can't tell me, so I'm going to meet with the Assistant Director, Jeff Mitchell, Janet, our senior, our assessor, and hopefully Vanessa, our clerk treasurer, to figure out, from the numbers that we give them, how do they throw this in a bucket and come out with the stuff they did. It doesn't go with any historical data that I have. So consequently, I'm reluctant to put any of that in, and I haven't in all the years that I've been doing this. But anyway, there could be, possibly, if we can get some turnabout on that in the next, either at the end of this week or next week. The budget allocation may increase due to our tri-stipulation agreement, which is now in process. That may increase the expenses to the fire district. And also it could increase due to what we had talked about before, which is a cost allocation study. The cost allocation study merely takes, for the most part, the expenses of the general fund that is applicable to those special revenue funds and reallocates that. And that would be salaries and wages on all of the things from accounts payable to payroll to civil actions, criminal actions, building permits, et cetera. So there's a formula that does that. We will have all of that information hopefully by the end of this week in order to make that kind of a decision. And for that, Mr. Chairman, that's my update on the 474 Fire District.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. At this time, we'll go ahead and recess as the 474 Fire District Board and convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the water system actually will remain the same with the exception of possibly cost allocation study and possibly some additions due to a rate study plan that Far West Engineering has mentioned before. Those two things are still there. We don't know, and hopefully we can have some idea by the time the final budget comes along. The same should be set for the Virginia Divide Sewer. We've got some additional allocations now that we've got the loan agreements and whatever, which we will have to calculate for the final budget, but that will all be inclusive, and hopefully we'll have that rate study done by then. That concludes all of my comments on the Water and Sewer Board, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And go ahead, Commissioner Pat. Carmona, have you... I'm not sure how deep the conversation's gone with cost allocation. Hugh and I have been kicking this around for 3, 4, 5 years. Within the general fund, it's probably not that important because the fund, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the categories Hugh mentioned, the legal expenses that we go through, the accounting expenses that we go through, the human resource expenses that we go through, when we're providing those for other funds, specifically water, sewer, fire, and I think the VCTC most likely, where we're providing those core services, we're getting now to the point where we want to put a dollar amount on that and have those embedded in our budget. So you're going to see decreases in the general because we're moving stuff. And if you have any other questions, you and I'd be happy to go in further depth with you. It's just been a program that we've looked at for many years and finally pulled the trigger.
Appreciate it. Okay, so at this time we're going to go ahead and recess the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item 27, which is to review and recommendations for the 2019-2020 Story County Tentative Budget. Official final approval on the final budget to be made on May the 21st, 2019. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenues, there are various line items that I have gone through, not applicable to ad valorem, for which I've looked at the history and where we are year to date. There were some adjustments I needed to make, and that those adjustments to revenues in various, it would be, you know, sales tax, CCRT, SCCRT. I think those revenue numbers for the tentative were higher than I thought that they should be. And so we're making an adjustment back, which we will show you during the final budget. We have additional health insurance numbers hopefully in at $156,000 more than we budgeted. Additional departmental adjustments throughout our departments for about $283,000. This budget will probably decrease, I think, as I mentioned with water and sewer and fire, there are increases along with this cost allocation study should that be approved. Getting into the various departments within the general fund, we received a billing last week from State Public Defender's Office with their allocation for public defenders, which will have to increase their budget there by $11,259, and also a youth services billing for $500. Buildings and grounds. We have a salary transfer of an individual from planning, plus those benefits, which will increase their budget by $81,000. Roads, their revenue may increase due to the possibility of the diesel tax being approved by the Nevada State Legislature. I have not put that number in. Everybody's thinking it's about another $200,000. We were going to look at the roads again because of its ending fund balance for a possible transfer from the general fund. This has been happening. We've done this several years to help that with the roads, especially down south with Lockwood and the Tri area. So there may be an allocation or a transfer of funds from the general fund to the road district. And again, their expenses could go up with relation to the cost allocation study. Justice Court and the Justice Court Fund, the reason I put them in there is because we do not know where their fee structure is going to be. It actually took a turn to good with some conversations with Justice Harrington. It seems that the amount of fees that we will collect will not decrease as much by going to the civil side. However, those bills are still in committee and haven't come out yet. Communications. We needed to give salary adjustments there for about for $14,794. And their overtime, which we have always underestimated, and it's always come in over, because they had an additional person, we wanted to take that and make a good estimate of that overtime, which would be another $17,000 on the overtime side, and benefits of $7,736 for a total of $40,000. Comptroller's office, since we're going to be moving, we probably will need a little furniture over there. The biggest part is travel and education, especially on the Tyler system and up and coming the DevNet system, which we'll be taking a look at. The training is imperative for us to continue trying to get our arms around the cloud as we were. But I think it would be, and if we don't need to do that, we obviously we're going to spend it. Emergency mitigation is going to be a transfer from the administrative side of the house for $40,000 to just shore up what they spent during the flood a couple of years ago. Community relations, we're going to increase those those stipends to include transferring the GPOSI stipend from the administrative department to community relations in the amount of $10,000, inclusion of the food bank stipend for the North County and the South County of $25,000 for an additional $60,000. Commissioners, we're going to have to increase the commissioner's department by $107,000 to reflect the agreements on the retirement of County Manager Whitten and the reclassification of Mr. Osborne. Administrative, there will be some salary reclassifications there of about $15,000 in salaries and $5,000 in benefits. The transfer to emergency mitigation of $40,000 and the release of the stipend from the administrative department to community relations with regard to the GPOSI. The planning budget they will decrease because of the salary of a employee to Public Works plus benefits, but they need some increase in postage because of all of the planning department things that they need to do there. Big item here is CAP projects. CAP projects is currently slated to have a transfer from the general fund of $5 million, and that is for projected payments with regards to current projects on the board, i.e., the Justice Center, and anything else that would come up at that period of time. The tri-payback is remaining the same. However, we are in negotiations with our public-private partner on a new stipulation agreement, and with regards to that, if we have a good number by next week, I will include that as probably a potential increase in our payments to our public-private partner. Piper's Opera House increased about $5,500 due to the new insurance premiums that came in. And with regards to the sheriff, we may transfer the purchase of his vehicles out of the, depending upon what can happen, out of out of the general fund and into equipment acquisition. There is an increase in his insurance liability of $1,000, and one which we always talk about, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it, is his salaries and wages. It has, with double coverage both in the South Center, south part and the north part, and also looking at potential coverages in the jail. It is time that we do a study on whether or not the sheriff would concede to a 12-hour shift versus a 10-hour shift. We've been doing this every year for the last 4 or 5 years. I know the sheriff doesn't like it. Budget-wise, it's a tremendous savings, I believe. And if those situations are true, then my recommendation is that you recommend the 12-hour schedule. I know that the sheriff has indicated before that if it was your decision, then he would do it. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. However, that's going to be an item that both, I show Jerry my stuff because I don't want to come up here and during the final throw out a bunch of stuff that he doesn't see. He's got good points, I got good points. So we're just going to have to see, but that's going to be a biggie during the final budget. And in addition, we just got off the just got an email from the Division of Child and Family Services that our budget will probably for this next coming year will be about $639 for that. And for Health and Human Services, it'll be about $34,000. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's my update on the tentative versus the final.
Commissioner, any questions for you?
You say tremendous savings by going to 10 to 12-hour shifts. What, give me a round number of what you think we're going to save by doing that.
Both jail and jail personnel and deputy personnel, between $500,000 and $700,000.
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Okay, we've continued item 28 and 29. That brings us up to item number 30, discussion with possible action on the approval of the business license second readings. Mr. Whitten?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending approval of items A through F as they appear on your agenda and in your packet.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of the business licenses? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moving to second to approve all second reading, all business license second readings. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 31, public comment. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Story County resident. Since you didn't ask for public comment after the budget.
That's right, we didn't.
Okay, so.
Because it wasn't an action item. It was
okay.
Only discussion. Yeah.
May I ask a question on it now?
This is just public comment.
Okay, I have a public comment. The last time the budget was submitted, I had asked at that time for a list of the capital projects which are going to be funded out of the budget, as well as the infrastructure list that is going to be funded out of the budget. I didn't see it in this presentation. I would like to reiterate, I was told at that time that it would be a part of the budget prior to final approval. So I'm here to reiterate my request of getting the capital project list that is going to be comprehended in this budget, as well as the infrastructure list, since it wasn't part of the first reading of the budget, it hasn't been a part of this tentative budget, and I was told on public record it would be part of the budget at some point prior to approval. So
I suggest you stop by Comptroller's office and ask for a copy of those.
I asked him, he didn't have it. Now, I'm just making, again, another public request for it prior to the commission approving it. Hopefully, it'll be part of the final packet in the next meeting, so everyone, not just I, can see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there public comment? Mr. Whitten.
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill, here in Story County, where the constituents come last. Earlier in the meeting, we had an example of why it's so important for public comment to be moved to the front of the meeting. We had a fellow who was confused about the way things get done up here in Story County, and he made the mistake of coming up thinking that this county was just like every other county in Nevada, which allows public comment at both the beginning and the end of the commission meeting. I've given Mr. Whitten a request for the item to be placed on the agenda for you guys to vote as to reinstate public comment in the beginning and at the end of the meeting. I look forward to that coming up to a vote so that you guys can either in public approve it, which I would recommend you do, or vote it down, sending a further signal to the people that we do, in fact, come last. Commissioner Carmona earlier in the meeting brought up the the suggestion that we look for in looking at how much money we spend on public records requests. Interestingly, there's a fellow in this room here, Mr. Thompson, who made a public records request to the sheriff's office that required hundreds of hours of redaction on 6,000 emails on a single request. There were two other requests that took literally dozens and dozens of hours of staff to conclude. Every public records request I make that I know is going to be burdensome, I offer, as I did to Superintendent Hess, to come down and do the work myself so that the county's staff is not burdened by the going through papers that aren't collected electronically. One of the message that charging for public records requests and putting it will have basically a chilling effect on the free distribution of information between the government and the people. Frankly, those are our books. We own the data that's in there, and we paid for it to be there. So we should have free and unfettered access to it. Mr. Whitten stood on his I believe he called it his soapbox, and took a moment to excoriate me for a piece that I wrote on the building purchase for the Justice Center. Interesting. The criticism he suggested was aimed at the Fanes was actually aimed at the two sitting commissioners. Mr. Carmona was not part of the commission for the last 7.5 years or six plus years. When this issue was clear and on the issue, Mr. McBride mentioned that over the last 6 years he's done just tons of work to try and solve this problem. And as I alluded to earlier, I used to remind my employees not to confuse hard work with results. Here we are staring at the face of a court order, which is now down to, 130 days, 120 days. And, I may mention the six Ps. Proper planning prevents pretty poor performance. And, this problem has been on your plates since you've become commissioners. And today, here we are.
Would you like to wrap it up?
Excuse me?
You've exhausted your time.
I'm sorry. The clock wasn't set. However, I'll take your word for it. Finally, the reality of a free press means that there's confrontations and there's issues that will develop. However, I've got 6 unanswered voicemail messages to Mr. Gilman and 2 unanswered public records requests. Mr. Carmona has responded no comment to every request I've made of him. And on a deposition that Mr. Gilman's attorney made of Public Information Officer Austin Osborne, the following transaction occurred. Does Mr. Toll ask questions? Yes, he does. Does Mr. Toll ask for public records requests? Yes, he does. Do you provide the public records requests? Yes, I do. Do you answer his questions? No, I don't.
You've gone over 4 minutes okay. Now. So, is there any other public comment?
Do you Mr. answer Thompson? The questions? No,
Mr.
I
Toll,
don't.
Mr. Toll, please.
Thank you.
You've exhausted your time.
Chris Thompson.
I'll ask the same thing to you to please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
I will do so, sir. Thank you. Chris Thompson, Story County resident. The prior speaker is a prime example as to why public comment should stay at the end of the meeting. He has come up here time after time after time making the argument about public comment. Typically, he's the only one making public comment, and typically there's nothing of value that he adds to the meeting. Other than attack people, insult, and smear. As to his comment about our public records request, number one, it was years ago in 2016. Number two, there was a cost formula that was associated with those. We were billed, I believe, by the DA's office, and we paid for those public records. As mentioned, the records that we requested, I believe, came from a department where there was a process in place where they collected the costs of producing those public records. So to pay that somehow we got free public records is just another lie, number one. Number two, the $100,000, I'd sure like to know how much of that is coming from Mr. Toll. And if I support the idea of the county tracking exactly how much people are costing the county in public records requests where they're not paying for the cost of the copy. And you know, there'll be more to follow on this one, but I just think it's pretty rank for someone to be talking about county finances and criticizing when they're costing the county tens of thousands of dollars each year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, additional public comment? Afternoon.
Joseph Bowman, Story County resident. I have a question. In respect to the 10 versus 12 hours, is that 4 10 hours or 3 12 hour shift? Is that what we're...
Sometimes they overlap because in public safety, sometimes it's different.
Okay.
It's not like a general employee, basically. But, Mr. Geller could answer it better, or even the sheriff. Either one of them could answer it better than I could.
Is it, in fact, 3 12 hours shifts for...
3 1 week, 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many have actually worked the hazardous duty job in here.
Very good.
I have. Very good. I have. And going to 12 hours is very detrimental. Actually, you start to lose focus after 10. Actually, after 8. But after 10, you really start losing focus. And that's when accidents happen or things beyond your control. So I just want you to be aware in that situation, you know, to please go cautiously here.
Thanks for your comments. Just as a point of information,
sure,
for you, our firefighters work 48 on.
Yes. But I believe they have rest periods, whereas law enforcement usually are going constantly through that.
Just rest periods if they're not out fighting fire or responding to auto accidents, right?
Right. One other thing.
Good point.
One other real quick thing, because I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Yeah, for sure.
The speed limit on Lousetown Road from Geiger to Long Valley is 35 miles an hour. From Long Valley all the way down to the firehouse is 25. Is there any way, or what could we do to make it all 25 miles an hour? Is there anything... procedure or what you would have to go through?
You want to lower it from 35 to 25?
Yes.
Bring your own tar and feathers.
Hey. No problem. But see, what happens is...
That's more of a question for Commissioner Carmona, since that's his district up there.
Okay, well, what happens is people come over that hill and down through that section of Lousetown at much higher speeds than 35. You know, it's more like 45 or above. Especially if you're in an ATV or a four-wheeler or whatever, they go blasting through there, mostly on my property, but sometimes on the road. Okay. Whatever you can do to help, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Where is your property, if you don't mind me asking?
My property splits Lousetown. It goes from Riverview all the way down the Long Valley. I have property on both sides of the road.
Okay. Are you the guy that's in the camper on the right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
stop in.
I'm not a fan of speeding either, so.
Well, what happens is, especially with the four-wheelers, Jeeps, off-road trucks, they don't use the road. They actually made their own road on my property and go through there at a high rate of speed. And I can tell you right now, my wife is not very happy in cleaning everything every day.
Yeah.
And they have argued with me repeatedly that I don't own it.
Because it's the easement?
Well, it is an easement, but an easement's funny. I imagine the ADA could tell you that's for construction and maintenance of a roadway, but not for somebody to make another roadway on my property, which is what has transpired.
Okay,
that's it. Thank you so very much. Nice to see you all.
Thanks for your comments.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Additional public comment? Hearing none? Okay. See you in 2 weeks.